Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Whatever. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me. I was going to do it. Willkommen, you know, as a reference to Chris Carter being in Cabaret. Willkommen! And then I just couldn't pull it off. It's me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman and Matt Rodriguez Payne. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with a surprise. Alan, I forgot that he only appears in the pulpit when there's nothing happening. It's Christmas and Easter when he makes himself scarce. Second surprise, Rob Titchener, apparently with a stick, which is good, as it means it'll be something for whoever it is to beat him to death with. Rob, who accidentally called Alan Helen at one point, which I hoped was an indication that he was going barmy, was trying to persuade Alan to baptise him by repeatedly reminding him that he hadn't got long in the tone of a man whose train is about to leave, which I suppose it sort of is. Although as it's Rob, I'm glad it's one way and I hope there's no buffet car and that he's sitting next to a school trip. Alan got completely flustered and demonstrated that assertiveness is not one of the things they train vicars in. He decided his best option was to test Rob on God to see if he was really committed to being baptised. Any favourite bits of the Bible? He said. Yes, said Rob, I like the smiting. Also the Jesus bits and Genesis, particularly Phil Collins. However, once Alan had been to visit Rob in his flat and popped in to see him on the lavatory, he pulled himself together and said, no, get stuffed. I know the church welcomes everyone, but it's going to make an exception in your case. For one wonderful minute, I thought Rob was going to trap Alan in his flat and hold him hostage, with the whole thing ending in a shootout. But disappointingly, it ended up with Usha suddenly reappearing and cooking something that sounded very exciting for a midweek dinner. We knew it was Usha because Alan kept calling her that. Whether he was reminding himself, us or her, I don't know. Eddie, Emma and Oliver all had lunch together and Eddie started talking about Halloween events. Plenty of strange and unexplained things have happened round these parts, said Eddie, by which I presume he means what Lee sees in Helen and why Ardil's got my text message alert. He came up with some nonsense Hound of the Baskervilles type bullshit, which Emma fell for hook, line and sinker. So I presume we now have wearying weeks ahead of us of people camped out in the wood looking for the bloody thing, which would turn out to be either one of the ferrets or yet another amorous Ambridge couple humping away up against a log pile. If this whole thing ends up with Linda and her dog dancing naked in a clearing in Leader's Wood, I'm switching off. Now, one of the things I love about Emma is that when she gets a bee in her bonnet, it becomes everyone's bee. Immediately. Hiya, here is my bonnet full of bees. Now you've got to help me with it. She trailed round the village demanding Alan tell her about the church's position on ghosts, which seemed to be probably not, to be honest. But then he has had a lot on his mind, what with his wife forgetting her own name and Rob calling him Helen. You could tell he was distracted. As he proved a bit of a letdown on that, Emma decided to pin him down on forgiveness instead, and he seemed a little bit shaky on that too. Have we actually checked Alan's credentials? He's not just a plumber called in to fix the U-bend in the vicarage and in a hilarious mix-up found himself forced to minister to the village's spiritual needs for the next 20 years. Here is this week's theory. I think Ardil is in the witness protection programme, as that is the only explanation for him not answering his phone, moving around the country from project to project and living in bed and breakfasts for months on end with no real home of his own and refusing to have a social life of any kind. Eventually, after an inordinate amount of dodging about, Ardil finally copped on to the fact that his sister had for the last month been working about 3 miles away from him. Thank God for that. Will we now get the backstory? Will it be that since the death of his wife, Ardil has done nothing but work and his whole family is very worried about him and this will be fixed by him going out with Krusty or Alice or similar? Fundamentally, his biggest problem is getting out of Ambridge Hall, especially now we know Linda had something that cleared up with some cream.
Oh, God, yeah.
Poor woman. Must be the lot of a village locum GP. There she is trying to buy her raspberry yogurt for lunch and she gets pinned up against the wall of crisps by a villager keen to tell her that the discharge has cleared right up. The Horribins decided to go on a family day out 200 miles away to what Twitter decided was Durham University. It was fun. And we went on a tour of the lecture halls. And then poor Brad decided that actually he wanted to go to Felpersham University as he couldn't face any more open days with Jazza in a kilt and Tracy shouting, "Oh, I'm thick, me. Imagine all this book learning going on." Meanwhile, back at the vicarage, Usha was pulling on her boxing gloves and silk trunks, ready to knock seven bells out of Rob and or Alan, depending on which one pissed her off most first. Hurrah for Usha. Less talking, more threats. Yes. That's what I call muscular Christianity, even if she is a Hindu. The end.
Usha was the absolute joy this week, wasn't she?
I'm not falling for any of your rubbish. And I was sitting in the back going, woo, woo, woo.
Yes. Usha is actually the only character in The Archers who you actually believe genuinely doesn't take any crap out of anybody.
No.
She's so convincing, isn't she? I just
because even Stella's shown herself to be a bit of a wibbler about Pip. But Usha just is, she literally, the woman has no fucks to give, does she?
No. And that's what's so good about Usha as well. Because also, because I think you get that sense from her also because she's not in it all the time.
Yeah.
And she's one of those people, isn't she, that doesn't, unlike me, who has to constantly be in the crowd and I can't bear to miss out on anything. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
She'll like show her, you know, pop out the door occasionally if she has to, or like begrudgingly in support of Alan.
Yeah.
But ultimately, she doesn't need to be she doesn't need everyone to love her.
No.
And that's
also, because
she's
married to
the
vicar, she's always got that in her back pocket, like, right, you piss me off, you've pissed him off. Do you want the vicar to?
Alan is so lucky, isn't he, to have Usha. Oh, God, I loved her.
I mean, if he had somebody like Helen, can you imagine? They'd just be dithering endlessly, fannying around, overthinking everything.
No. Ugh. When she was like, go and slither back under that rock.
Yeah.
Oh,
her voice sounded really odd in that bit, actually.
Oh, but it was very Usha-y.
Yeah.
I think she's got a really lovely, quite seductive voice, actually.
She has, but it was she was really spitting that out at him.
But also, and articulating it sort of right like that. And it was brilliant. And also, she's the only person in the village that could say to Alan, go take your vestments off.
Yeah.
And it be a little bit sexy.
Slip out of your vestments.
Alan, go take your vestments off.
As opposed to just vest. Go and take your vest off, Alan.
The fact that she calls. I mean, I know they are genuine. I know they are literally vestments. What is, but it was the way she said it. You sort of wonder if she does that in the bedroom as well. Or do they have sex? I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, there's obviously something she finds attractive about Alan, isn't it?
The motorbike, probably.
Oh, yes, of course. I forgot he's in his leathers a lot, isn't he? I forgot that. Oh, yeah. But no, it was three cheers for Usha.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God. Because I was a bit worried. I thought it was such a brilliant turn again this week.
Yeah.
Didn't you? Like when, you know, suddenly, of course, Rob goes to Alan. So he's going to try a new way in.
And even then, Alan, because Alan wasn't falling for it, but he just couldn't see a way out.
Yes. And that's it. Again, it just shows these traps that Rob sets for people. And it's so easy to fall for them. And then once you've fallen for two or three, there's no escape, is there? You're completely sort of in his hold.
Mm.
And yeah.
Because even I thought it was so clever when he said to Alan, oh, yeah, no, Helen came with me. You can ask her.
Yes.
And Alan went, Helen? And he said, did her family not? Yeah.
Yes, it was very clever.
Yeah.
But that's why Usha was great, because Usha said something that is very difficult for anybody to say, isn't it? Which is like, I don't care if you've got cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was so brave that she's,
what did she say? We are not falling. We don't have to listen to your nonsense.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it was something great. But she's sort of the only person to have admitted that she doesn't care if he, you know, just because you've got cancer doesn't mean we have to fall for your nonsense, something like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then you could see him turn on a dime again when he's and you're not even a Christian outside.
Because I thought Usha was going to have the last word.
Yeah.
But of course, it's still not over.
But is there going to... I mean, is he... Because the more... Because Alan put his finger on it when he said, "You don't. The vicar shouldn't matter. If you want your relationship with God, it doesn't matter who you go to, unless it isn't about that." And then he suddenly went, "Yes, yes, of course it is, of course it is, of course it is."
Yeah.
But he's not going to forgive Usha because he now sees Usha as having frustrated his chances and what he getting what he wanted. So she's now absolutely, she's got a massive target on her head, I think.
Yes. Mm. Oh my God, this is all definitely leading to some massive climax, isn't it?
Well, let's hope so.
Let's hope so, you see. But it's 2 weeks off to and a week on now, isn't it? Two weeks off and a week on. Well, as in like you sort of get 2 weeks off.
Oh,
Rob,
2 weeks
and
fluff.
Then...
Fluff. 2 weeks on and then fluff and then 2 weeks on and then rough and then
Fluff, yeah. And last week was Lark Rise week, which is fine.
Lark Rise to Candle Fluff, that's what it was.
And we've come to terms with that week.
We have, because it was actually quite good.
Yes, because the show was good.
I tell you what, little Tracy Horobin's daughter, she was cracking.
Oh, she was brilliant. Yeah, she was really
good.
So good. Her and Henry made the cutest pair. I know. Yeah, she was a very
she's only
nine. Actress. Very good actress.
Yeah.
But no, that was brilliant. The only thing I would have preferred, Lucy, is because you know last week I said I think they must be. I thought it wasn't going to be. Let's start the play in Ambridge and then go into Lark Rise.
You were hoping it was going to be self-contained.
Yes, I just thought I prefer it if it's self because I don't know. I did find the going back into Archer's characters for a bit of commentary. I didn't love that actually.
No.
I liked the fact it was narrated by the characters, but then when they brought, you know, sort of dissolved the fourth wall and were like, ho ho ho, that's a bit like an Ambridge, isn't it? We didn't really need that, I didn't think. Because it was pretty obvious. We'd all week.
And I was having a lovely time just trying to work out who all the voices were.
Oh, I love
were.
That. That's the best game.
Ooh, that's Chris Carter. That's Chris Carter.
Ooh. That is the best game, isn't it? Quite a lot of them, I had no idea who it was.
Mm.
There were quite a few and I was like, don't know, could be, but and Helen playing an old person.
Yeah.
It's good. I loved it. It was very, very good.
Yes. Yes, it was good.
But I think next time, please, the Archers, can you just make it, as you said, a self-contained
Well, that's
drama.
What they did with Blythe the Spirit.
Did they?
They just made that completely self-contained.
Yeah. I don't think also it felt a bit like it was like Spark Notes commentary.
Yeah.
It was almost like, hey, we've got a rickyard.
Yeah.
Yes, a rickyard happens to be a bit of a farm.
There is a parallel here between what is happening.
That's so funny that actually happens at Ambridge. But apart from that, those bits, it was
Because
awesome.
Even, wasn't little Mia playing an old person as well?
Yeah, she was, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny when you hear them being grown-ups and you think, oh, yeah, imagine them in, like, really oversized shoes or something.
It was very, 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 very good. It reminded me a bit of Laurie Lee, you know, Sider with Rosie.
Yeah.
I love that kind of story. What's in countryside and nothing happens really, does it? But just a bit of
Then
a
there's a
war
off. And half the cast disappear and then everyone comes back again.
But it was sad when they mentioned the war and then they basically told you that all the male characters were going to be dead.
Yeah.
That made me sad. Anywho.
It made me sad that Brad is going to Felbersham College.
Well, interesting, did it? Were you disappointed?
Yes.
I'm a bit two-sided about this because my gut reaction was, oh no, don't. Go to Durham. It's lovely. And then I thought, I think... Maybe Brad's not ready for that.
Yeah.
And maybe this is actually a reflection on quite a lot of Brad's generation, the COVID generation, who probably are very anxious about going away from home. And
actually, I did check with my daughter if I could share this story because it reminded me of her. And I said, is it all right? And she said, yeah. When she went off to university, she was classic, you know, she did her A-levels at home.
Yeah.
Because through
classic
COVID.
Classic COVID. Yeah.
Didn't have a gap year. She said, I'm just desperate to get out. You know, I don't want to delay this anymore.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm, you know, my fun years, I've lost two of them. I don't want to lose any more. I want to go. So off she went and she got there and left her at her halls. And I said, do you want me to hang around? And they were going around saying, like, do you want to come to the talk in the halls and have your dinner all together? And she was a bit hesitant. And I said, no, you go. And I'll clear off and I'll see you in the morning. If you want to, you know, we can go and have brunch or something.
Yeah.
So off she went. So I went off, stayed in a hotel. She went off and did her thing. And then 4 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. And it's this little voice going, like this. And I said, Tilly? And she said, yes, hello. I've decided that this isn't for me, really. I really feel sick and it's horrible here. And I'll just come back with you. I'll just come back home with you. So you just come. I won't unpack. You just come past my house where I am now and pick me up and we'll just go home. And then we won't talk about this anymore. I just won't do it. It was that waking up in a strange place and thinking, she said, I want to go and make a cup of tea and I don't, what if anyone's in the kitchen and what if... What should I wear if I'm just going to go into the kitchen and make a cup of tea? Do I have to get all dressed or can I just put my slippers on and my dressing gown? And, you know, and it was just, and I suddenly thought, oh my God, I suddenly had this sort of fear for Brad that that's what he's imagining.
Also, I don't know that if it was Durham I actually pictured Durham as well, I suppose, because they said everything looks like a church.
And it's 200 miles away and everybody did a sort of...
Because Oxford...
They triangulated it and figured out that all the clues pointed to Durham.
But I don't think Durham is probably the right fit for Brad. I mean, I was saying to someone recently, I don't think I'd send my kids to Durham.
It's a bit Oxbridge-y.
Yeah, exactly. I think probably it must, I assume, be quite populated with Oxbridge-y type people. Yeah. Maybe that's very...
No, it has a big public school intake and it's also one of the ones that got done for the most sexual harassment things.
Blimey. So, but you'd think if you had a kid who was like not super confident and not super outgoing...
a bit introverted.
Yeah, there might, because there probably are some very confident people at Durham. But maybe not. Maybe and obviously it's college-y, isn't it? So maybe there's a right fit there. But I thought, because I thought, oh no, don't go to Felbush and Brad, spread your wings. And then I thought, but it's okay because if he is feeling anxious, he does seem quite an anxious type, doesn't he? Mm. And he's so focused on his studies anyway. There's no reason why he couldn't then go and do a, what's the next one you do?
A master's MSc. Somewhere else. Yeah.
And I thought, I think in this day and age, it maybe our generation is changing anyway in that my mum was like, you've got to go as far away as possible, darling. And I did. And actually, I was really homesick. But I think maybe we're turning more like Europe, where you sort of just go to your local university and you live with your parents and save money that way. And it does seem like sort of a bit weird now to go super far away.
Yeah.
It's when you have to pay for uni anyway now. So it just makes everything much more expensive.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be all right at Felpersham. And then he just really wants to get focus on his studies, doesn't he? And he thinks he might not be able to do that if he's...
And also he doesn't have a problem with being at home. He likes Jazza. He loves Tracy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you know, like he doesn't want to fly to Nest.
His girlfriend's there. He's, she'll be going anyway.
Yeah, but she's going to be like Exeter somewhere, probably. Or like wherever is good at environment stuff. I don't really know where those uni's are. Maybe
we've had
London.
An email about this with somebody that knows they're talking about. Sarah Kellaway.
That's always a relief.
She said, I'm getting in touch this week as my area of expertise is so rarely covered in the Archers, i.e. I'm not a farmer, vet, lawyer of all trades like Usha or a vintage upcycler. She is a senior outreach officer at the University of Essex.
Ooh.
And she coordinates the team that works with students like Brad.
Right.
My main issue, Brad couldn't afford the train ticket to the open day. Completely understandable with the daylight robbery of our public transport system these days. However, I really wanted to point out that most, if not all, universities are able to offer travel bursaries to students to visit open days to help them get there. You have to get in touch and ask, and they'll arrange that for students who otherwise couldn't attend. I was hoping this was going to be in the direction of the storyline, but annoyingly it wasn't covered, perpetuating the impression that access to university is reserved only for the more affluent in society.
That's really good to know, Sarah, because I did think, surely there's some... Because I did think there's no way a university, well, like Durham, like anywhere, wouldn't want someone like Brad to visit. They'd do everything they could, wouldn't they, to get him there. So I'm really glad that those bursaries
She says,
there.
The costs of university are high, but there's a lot of support out there for students like Brad, and it would be great if the BBC could cover these aspects, like the travel bursary, rather than perpetuating the belief that university is only accessible to the Aldridges of this world.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for the Archers to help break down barriers and preconceptions and explore the huge range of activities and support in place from teams such as ours, which help lots of students like Brad break the mould and create the future they want for themselves.
I feel really bad about being elitist. I'm
and
sure
please,
Durham
please
is...
explain the student loan system properly when that comes up. I know the loan doesn't cover everything and lots of students opt for part-time work to make up the shortfall. But a lot of my job has involved helping students, parents and carers to understand the actual repayment terms, the fact that the loan doesn't impact credit ratings like other loans and that students only repay when they're in a financial position to do so.
This is really useful, Sarah.
She says, the Archers don't use this storyline to fuel stereotypes and please use it to inspire and inform other Brads and their families.
Oh, that's really good, actually. And I hope anyone who's currently studying at Durham, not studying at Durham 20 years ago, but currently studying at Durham, can write in and say how it's changed for the better.
Yes.
Because I remember visiting it and thinking, there's no way I could go here. Because I found a lot of those pashminas quite intimidating.
Yes, there's a lot of Alice Band going on. The Alice Band game is strong. This is from Clover Slack, who says, thanks for the podcast.
Great name. Which, Clover Slack. Oh, what a brilliant name.
Which at the moment is more enjoyable than listening to the actual Archers, mostly due to the vacillations of Pip and Stella. Just have a relationship or not, like any couple, gay or straight. Lark Rise to Candleford is one of my favourite books, and I first read it over 40 years ago, and I reread it every few years.
Oh, that's lovely.
Was the plot device really just to culminate in the inclusion of a candlelit reading at the Harvest Supper? I'm currently rewatching the BBC adaptation of the novel. It's on BBC iPlayer. And was reminded of an event held called the Penny Reading, which took place in the village. Is it possible this was the inspiration for the scriptwriter?
Oh, right. Mm. Oh, that must be it.
Yes.
Interesting.
We have clever.
I want
listeners.
To read the book, actually. I actually now do feel, having slagged off all that sort of, exposition, I do want to read the book now. Because I really enjoyed I loved when they did it on ITV, but when I listened to it on Sunday, it sounded, I didn't remember anything, actually. And I thought, oh, I must have missed a lot. And if I've missed a lot in the TV and the radio, then I should read the book.
Yes. One should always read the book.
One should, and one shouldn't be like Linda and just pretend you've done
it. Yes, quite.
Or the unabridged audio book.
Yes. Unabridged, that's most important.
That is important.
Now, this is Vickery stuff, because I was thinking, I couldn't quite believe that that Alan was in the predicament he was in. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, okay, so there's...
He's predicaring his vickery.
There was four parishes that Adam. Huh.
Also, who knew Felbersham had a... did we know Felbersham? Did we know Felbersham had a uni? Or has it just been built?
No. It's been mentioned before.
Oh, okay. Fair dues. But it's obviously doing very well.
Yes.
If it's top 30 for maths.
Yes.
Amazing.
Couldn't quite believe that Alan, with four parishes, wasn't able to turn away somebody who was going to upset the entire congregation.
Yeah.
And who had actually been given a restraining order not to go near the, you know, and it just seemed extraordinary. However, Julie Bacon...
He could have called a friend on the first day.
Or indeed a vicar, somebody who knew what they were doing. Well, the person he should have called was the Reverend Julie Bacon, who happily for us emailed us instead. And she said, This week has been enthralling for church nerds. The Anglican / Archers Twitter crossover seems pretty united on the key points, i.e. Alan is being at best naive and at worst stupid and he needs to talk to someone. Because, you know, Rob is a dangerous man. And Alan yes. kept putting himself in positions where there was no witness, there was no recording of anything.
It's like in police dramas, like in Happy Valley when Sarah Lancashire goes in on her own yes. and you're like, no, we yeah. all know.
I'll tell you what, I've had a good idea. I'll go down into the cellar with my torch, which is flickering because the battery's about to go. I'll be fine though, won't I?
Yes. Just get your backup before yeah. you go into that yeah. shed
no
house.
No need for heroics,
cellar.
Love. Yeah. The vast majority of C of E clergy are all too aware of safeguarding risks, and in a situation like this would be onto their diocesan safeguarding advisor pronto. It would also be wise to seek the advice of senior colleagues, like an archdeacon or bishop, to share the burden and to protect himself from any allegations. Exactly, oh, that Rob yes. or Miles yes. might choose to lob their way. Mm-hmm. The sensible way forward is for Rob to be put in touch with another clergy person outside the situation. Well, yeah. that's what happened this week. That's yeah. what happened today. Alan shares the cure of souls for all who live in his parishes with the bishop. That's why anyone is able to request baptism, marriage or a funeral from the parish in which they live. So it isn't just between Alan and his conscience. It's very much about the effect that any decision to baptise Rob would have on the community. Rob's right. willingness or otherwise to engage with another clergy person would be evidence as to whether this is a genuine seeking of God or merely further manipulation. Yes. Well, she also says something I hadn't thought of at all. She says she thinks the scriptwriters are telling a more subtle story. Parish ministry can be a very lonely place for many clergy. And I suspect that when they get themselves into messes, it's often because they felt alone and unsupported. However lovely your family and friends might be, or terrifying, like Usha, for example, there are some things that only other clergy will get. And of course, many things have to be confidential. That's true for other professions and jobs, but clergy are often working without close colleagues. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to feel isolated, as I know personally. In my current role, I provide support to other clergy as this diocese introduces new ways of doing ministry and mission. And I know it's very much appreciated. As well as just doing things better professionally, I hope Alan finds someone he can talk to who understands his situation.
That is a good point, isn't it? Because you're burdening yourself with a lot of people's worries and fears. Hello?
Sorry, I was having a drink, so I muted myself. Oh, so you didn't.
I'm so paranoid that you just stopped listening to me.
Go, sorry.
Shut up. Just put me on mute.
Why would I do? I put me on mute, not you on mute.
No, I was just saying it must be a
No, I could hear you, Harriet. I was listening.
I was waiting for you to go, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
We'll do what I do and just butt in.
Yeah.
yes, it must be that. No, because I thought, is he not allowed to tell Usha because of confidentiality? Or was he just scared to? Was that why he didn't talk to Usha about it immediately? Do you think he was just scared? Or was it a
I think he was scared.
Thing?
I think he didn't know what to do and he was scared. And he said, I knew you'd be upset. Upset was an understatement.
Upset,
I knew you'd
Alan.
Go batshit.
You were silly not to just confide in someone. But no, but I guess, you know, you probably have to just, there must be so many things on your plate as a vicar that you can't get them all off your chest, I guess.
And he was completely blindsided by Rob yeah. hobbling towards him, wasn't he? Is it Rob? Rob Titchener? Hey, up, you having a quick cough and a drag?
Oh my God, sorry.
Is that an ice cube? Went down the wrong way.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Poor old Alan.
Yes. So, guess how long...
Alan, get a glass for that beer. I just love the way that you share. I just
You've got it all down your vestments now.
Go and take these vestments off, you mucky pup.
You mucky vicar. Mucky little vicar. Guess how long Alan Franks has been vicar mm-hmm. of Ambridge, Penyhassett, Edgeley and Darrington.
Oh my God, it's going to make me feel like I'm older than I am. I'd say 15 years.
20 years.
20 years.
This is Terry White, who has filled us in, thank you very much, Terry, on our confusion about Tim Hathaway and Siobhan Hathaway and... Do you remember?
Yeah.
Last week,
yeah.
we all got very muddled.
I'd very much forgotten that him.
And we said, well, maybe they had an affair, because why did they both go off together? He said didn't. He said they just became close while Tim's marriage was disintegrating. It was all done quite subtly.
Tim and the vicar, the ex-vicar.
What?
Oh, sorry, hang on.
Tim and the vicar did not have an affair. Tim and Janet, who's the vicar,
Janet,
did not have an affair.
Janet, that was the one.
Tim's marriage to Siobhan was disintegrating.
Yes, yes, yes.
Janet did her vicarious thing when Tim discovered his wife was pregnant by another man. There was a bit of business involving a scarf. Tim bought it for Siobhan but gave it to Janet. And within a week or two of Siobhan taking Rory back to Dublin, Tim had joined a practice near Southampton, close to Janet's new parish. They drove off together.
Oh, so actually, well, right, okay. So, but Tim has never been heard of since Rory came back.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting, because you maybe think that Tim might have an interest in, you know, once Siobhan died. So he I just always assumed that Siobhan, there wasn't a Mr. Siobhan.
There was a Mr. Siobhan.
But there was. Mm. But your brain can only remember a certain amount of things.
Yeah.
And two, some of those in my characters.
One of those is, am I holding something? That takes up a good half of my brain. Don't let go of the thing that you're holding.
And the other one is, where am I going?
Yeah. where are my headphones, usually? That's the other one, is just perpetually, where are my headphones?
I plug this, bitch? Tim and Janet. Yeah, I vaguely remember Janet, because I remember they had a woman vicar. Because even that was like a bit of Vicar of Dibley, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Shula was not happy, I don't think.
Oh, right. Oh, God. Well, and then she goes and becomes a vicar.
Was she happy? Oh, she wasn't happy about Usha, that's right.
What? Oh, yes. Usha not being a Christian.
Yeah.
So if you're a Christian vicar, you are allowed to marry into another faith.
Yes.
Not into another faith, but you're around. Yes. That's good, isn't it? Mm. Oh, that's just sensible.
Mm. Yes.
I think that's, you know, probably a very good way to raise a family as well, isn't it?
Mm.
Have a bit of both, or maybe one of you nothing, or, you know, and then it's probably you should have seven parents.
It takes a village, etc., etc.
A humanist.
Catherine Rowan Jones said she was talking about the Titcheners and faith and stuff, and she said, a puff of sulphur and up pops Rob, startling the Reverend Franks. Surely a family like the Titcheners would have had Rob conventionally baptised when young. I'm not a Christian. Can baptism be repeated in later life? He's not seeking redemption. He's manipulating the hungover vicar, giggling shakily at the controlled menace in his delivery of, I'm living in Penny Hazard.
The stick sound effect was funny. Yeah. The iron cane.
So what did they say about why he hadn't
Miles said that his father didn't allow them to go anywhere near God.
Mm.
So their father was very anti-Christian.
Do you know what? You get that quite a lot in narcissistic personality disorder, which I think Rob has.
And his father has
inherited it.
Yeah.
Not inherited, you know, taken on those traits.
Yeah.
Because if you are a narcissist, nobody is... you are the supreme being. There is nobody better than you.
Oh, weird.
And the idea that anybody's word is... It's a bit like... you are God's emissary on earth. You know, what you say is completely right, because it's like you have like a divine belief in your own powers. And so you don't want them going near the real God, because that might then shake their faith in you as the... real God.
Yes.
I think that's why.
Gooding point.
Philip Shaw has thrown us a curveball and said, I've just seen Toya Wilcox on Richard Osman's House of Games and now understand why Pat didn't recognise her at that festival. I think she's had some work.
Oh my God, not Toya Wilcox. Mm.
She also does a lot of videos with her husband on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, didn't they go?
Sunday lunch. And she doesn't wear a bra in any of them, I've noticed. I looked at them today. And in all of them, I mean, she's got fantastic knockers, but they're very, very evidently fantastic knockers. And it's clearly a little bit chilly in her kitchen. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think they're not her knockers originally?
I don't know. Don't know whose they are.
I'm going to have a look. I mean, she looks fantastic if you look at her on Google.
Yes, she does.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I see what you mean about the knockers.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very cold in that kitchen. Yeah.
Whack that heating up. you know.
Suppose that just adds the viewers, doesn't
yes,
it? They,
exactly.
The viewers mount up exactly. Once they've seen that promo shot. Wow. Oh, yes. Wow, there's a lot of, yeah.
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 Good. Well I know what I won't be watching on
so
the Sunday
So well
lunch.
Done to you. Now, Kate Lloyd-Jones' predictions.
Yes.
My ideas, she said, which could still come to fruition, she says in a slightly desperate way, were he will request to be buried at St. Stephen's next near John's grave. She says, it will be right next to John's grave.
Yeah, but surely they can just say we haven't got any room.
Yeah, but my favourite, the Rob Titchener Memorial stained glass window.
He did say,
I know,
lovely
yes.
window, didn't yeah. he? Oh, my God. Oh, that's going to be awful.
And she also said, given Lillian's just made an appearance, I also wonder if Rob has rented his flat from Amside just to cause more Archer's
Ooh,
friction.
Ooh, Penny has it.
I think we've kind of quietly given up on Amside, haven't we? No one cares. No one. Lillian certainly doesn't
mentioned.
Care. No one
ever
can remember what they do or anything.
Ever since she got her new kitchen, it hasn't been mentioned,
no.
basically.
No.
Nah.
Elvis Dutton says, I wanted to mention that Monty is my favourite character by a country mile. His comic timing is impeccable. I nearly crashed the car laughing. Keep up the sterling gold work on the podcast. Thank you very much, Elvis. Yes.
Did you hate the ghost story stuff?
They always do it. I'm sort of resigned to it now.
But I was not appreciating eating. I wasn't eating it. I wasn't appreciating it. But then when Emma then found the what was her name, Annie Bosworth story in Linda's thing, and it turned out that was true, I got a little bit of the shivers. I actually did feel a bit.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought when her and Linda, when she was reading, and I don't know, I suppose it was because when she was going to Eddie, oh no, is that true? And you were like, when Eddie's telling it, it just sounds like a load of nonsense. Because she was reading it out of a book.
Yeah.
And she was disbelieving. I thought it was quite scary.
I
and
jumped then, when the dog barked.
Yes, exactly. I thought it was brilliant. And then when she said to Eddie, oh my God, how did you know? And he said, I didn't know. I was like, oh, I went a bit goosebumpy.
He did though, didn't he?
Well, he says he didn't, Linda.
Oh, thanks. Linda. Lovely. Nice.
Sorry.
Muddling me up with a heavily scarred woman in a wig. Thanks very much.
But I'm terribly good at organising. Oh God, when she said to Arnold, don't worry, we've cancelled our weekend away in Bath, I thought, that is such a terrible thing to do to a man who is sharing this space with you. Give him a weekend off and let him roam freely in that kitchen and make his own sandwich.
Yeah, wander around in his pants,
on him.
Singing.
Exactly.
You can have a poo with the door open, things like that, you know. Amazing.
You heard his heart sink. We've kept.
He said, oh, no, don't do that, Linda. And I was like, no.
Please. Oh, God. Poor Adele.
I can't believe he's still... Surely that doesn't happen, does it?
No, that was annoying.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, so I thought, you know, poor old Ardell.
Has he got a house?
No. He
is he a homeless?
He is a homeless, probably, isn't he? Or maybe he has a flat somewhere, but...
But it's full of his dead wife's things and he won't go back and blah, blah, blah.
As you said, it must be, you know, he's still grieving, I guess, for his wife, which is why, as you said quite rightly, this is why he's distracting himself with work and everything. But I thought it was going to be some really serious issue. I thought he had some really major problem with Gay Grables and something very dramatic was going to happen. But if it was just that he's been a little bit worried about it and having, you know...
It just
annoyed me, because also I really liked the sort of the strange thing going on with him and his sister. I think we all assumed it was his sister even before we sort of knew at the end. And I thought, wow, there's some incredibly dramatic family dynamic going on. But then he was like, oh, hi.
Yeah. Hiya.
Oh, I didn't know you were here.
I thought I saw you in the shop the other day, but I didn't bother to say anything.
It just didn't, it wasn't quite the dramatic sort of climax I'd imagined.
Yeah.
And then she was like, just breathe, Ardell.
And he just went, and that was it. It's fine. She said, there you go. Well done.
Because it would have been more interesting. Also, I found Linda incredibly annoying. Linda and Oliver babysitting him, going, you can't be working terribly, 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 terribly hard when your hotel's about to open. Of course someone will be working 16 hours a day or whatever, because their hotel is opening in 2 weeks and it's not finished.
And also, two of the biggest problems Ardell has are Linda and Oliver.
Yes, exactly.
Linda, because she follows him around when he has got any downtime, she follows him around the kitchen telling him about stupid things that he's doing, and because he's polite, he can't go, I don't pay you to have to listen to you, you mad old bat. So he has to listen to her chuntering on. And then Oliver's, you know, have the weekend off. Where are those very important drawings, Oliver? Oh, I don't know. I've put them down somewhere.
Exactly.
Have a look in last weekend's Observer. Are they in that? No. Oh, hang on, I've drawn a big willy on the back of one of them.
I'll just get my tape measure out and knock up some little doodles for you. Don't worry. Oh, I'll have a little word with somebody. I'll give you some cakes.
Eddie can help. Eddie, you free? Do you fancy building a hotel quickly?
I'll just hire a member of the village to help us. I'll make up a salary.
Tracy, let's ask Tracy and Emma. We ask Tracy and Emma to do everything. Finance director, Tracy. Marvellous.
I thought Dr. Malik, I can't remember. Do we know her Christian name? I can't remember. But when she was in the shop with Linda, just trying to get the sandwich or whatever she was trying to get. Oh, she'd run out of something, hadn't she?
Yes.
Remember when she was in the shop with Linda and Linda was banging on and she just did a brilliant job of going, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I just cannot. It was a bit like when Alan was trying to pay for his cappuccino. Yeah. And was like, anyway, chocolate sprinkles. And he was just like, I just need my coffee. I thought Alan did a really good job in that situation. And she was just brilliant in that scene.
Well, that is why, when some of the teachers at my kids' primary school said they hated living where they worked. Because they said pin you up against the deep freeze bit in Tesco and ask them about SATs results and, you know, whether or not their child is, you know.
That thing I was talking to you about in the surgery. I mean, actually, if you were the local doctor, you would never go in the local shop, would you? Because you'd be there.
The creams cleared it right up and the smell, you can hardly.
But could you just check this little pussy bit here that I've...
Part of it seems to have dropped off. I don't know where. Could you? Oh, look, it's in the bottom of my flip-flop there. Look.
But you just, you wouldn't have time, would you? Because don't GPs just, they don't get a break, do they?
No.
And then there's no way you'd go to, you'd do a delivery.
Yeah.
Even for a packet of
bills. You'd never leave the house if you, but she lives in Solihull, doesn't she, poor woman? But, you know.
Oh, that's true, actually.
I'm sure Solihull's very nice. I didn't mean poor woman for that. I meant that she has a long journey, is what I meant.
Rude, Lucy. They've got a bloody good university, I'll have you know.
You've pissed off Durham, so I thought I'd piss off Solihull.
No, but that, you're right. So by the time she gets home, she hasn't got time to get an Ocado or whatever.
No. Now, this is Laurie Dudley, who's just decided to have a row with everybody about everything. He told me that he'd been to a wedding. And so he was quite hungover on the train on the way home. And he suddenly became enraged by David's email about Natasha.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he spent 10 minutes worrying that he's a misogynist. he said, David said that Natasha hasn't had everything handed to her on a plate, unlike the Archers. While I agree that it's a fair characterisation of Helen and Tom, I don't think it's true of Tony and Pat, who I believe bought Bridge Farm, having made a success of it as tenants. Yes, that's true.
Yes, true.
Tony was backed up by Peggy's money, though. And I think what I find most grating about Natasha swanning around lording it over Fallon et al. Remember, she'd barely got one foot in the door before she was pushing Jazza out of a job. Is that she's done bugger all to contribute to the success, such as it is, of Bridge Farm, but feels her wedding ring gives her a right to call the shots. Warming to my theme, in this way and in this way alone, she reminds me of Rob, who similarly appointed himself a full partner in Bridge Farm even before he married Helen. Not to fall completely for the Lady Macbeth trope. Tom has full autonomy and is just as much of a self-centred shit and should have the gumption to realise that as well as businesses, people, they are members of a small, tight-knit community and shouldn't make decisions about their friends and neighbours' livelihoods on a whim, which that lot do fucking constantly. That said, I do have a soft spot for Brian, so maybe David has a point. Perhaps because he's funny. Natasha has her sensitive side, but she has all the wit and subtlety of a heavily trailed Archer's drama on Radio 4 crossover. I hate them. I hate them all. Maybe when my wedding hangover subsides, I'll feel more generally disposed. Feel free to ignore, as that was quite the rant, but I needed to get it off my chest.
That was quite a wedding you went to.
Do you think somebody, maybe he was wearing hurty shoes. You know, hurty shoes make you feel incredibly
awful.
You just hate everybody.
Awful. You do. You cannot escape the pain, so you cannot bear.
You stand on one leg just to give the other leg a respite from the pain. And then that hurts even more when you put that down. Awful. You know, if you take them off, you're never going to put them on again. Because your feet will immediately expand to the size of marrows, so they're just not... Yeah.
But actually, Lucy, it's your own fault, because what one really should do is take an extra pair of shoes to a comfy pair of shoes to
Oh, they wedding. All do that now, don't they?
Yes,
that is the
I
thing
do.
To do.
It is at 11:30 p.m. you put the comfy shoe on.
Yeah, and go, oh, thank God for that.
Yeah. And then you leave your nice shoes at the venue and you just never get them. So it's not worth it, actually.
Do you think eBay's full of high-heeled shoes with a bit of blood in one corner where someone's blisters burst or something? Right, now we're going to do...
What's yellow?
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
Right, do you remember last week's?
I love that. I just love that theme tune. I love it, Matt. Just really, really good.
Do you remember last week's? No.
No, hang on. I do, I think.
Helen, please, look, you don't have to go.
I think I do.
Well, I'm sorry, okay? I didn't want to have to tell you.
And why did you then?
Because I said I care about you, okay?
I find his voice fascinating, Ian.
I care about you.
It's not just his accent, it's his actual voice. It's really grainy and sort of a bit roopy. And I don't know, it's quite interesting. Now, who did we think that was about?
We thought it was about Robert.
We were wrong.
Lee!
No.
Oh.
Oh. James does say, I will say I was quite mean with last week's clip. It was not about Rob, but about Helen's short-term boyfriend, Leon.
Oh, from the bar. The bar man.
Head over the heels for the Australian... No one got this right. For the Australian bartender, Leon.
Yeah.
On a double date, Ian noticed Leon was checking out other women at the bar and was constantly messaging them. Helen did not appreciate Ian's observation, but Helen soon saw the real Ian when she turned up...
The real Leon.
...at the bar. Yes, sorry. Really? To give Leon his Christmas present, where she found Leon kissing someone else.
That sounded very confusing, though.
Yes. Ian was kissing Leon and not Rob.
Him a special Christmas present.
Yeah.
Yes, now that is said, I do remember all of that. Because I remember Leon was... Oh, God, maybe I knew him, the actor, or... I can't remember why he...
I remember you knowing him, so it can't have been that long ago.
Him. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, was it? Mm. Maybe 10 years ago?
Mm.
Something like that. I feel like it was something like that.
You're overestimating now, aren't you? Because normally we underestimate and say, it was a week last Tuesday and it turns out...
No, because I remembered that... I specifically said that because I remembered that 10 years is a short amount of time nowadays. It used to be a lifetime, now it's not, unfortunately.
It's a mere blink. Right, should we do this week's?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ooh, calling Albert Fry! Mr. Albert Fry, Big Brother is watching you!
You what?
Do not attempt escape! There is nowhere to hide!
Who's that?
The secrets Toby. Of your garden are being beamed directly to the screen of Mrs. Linda.
Oh, it's his bloody
Snell.
Drone, what isn't it?
Who? What?
Oh. That's Toby and his drone. Do you remember the drone company that he set up to do aerial shots of people's houses?
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
It was Leonie and
James
who set up that company, and Toby did the droning stuff for them because he's a good droner.
No, because they mentioned Leonie and James's balloon, didn't they? This week. Oh God, clever Lucy.
I think that's right. Oh God. Somebody write in and tell me, because I've now lost confidence.
Dear old Bert, though.
Yeah. Eh?
Eh? He had such a great voice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right.
Good one.
It's competition time.
Competition. This is what we've all been waiting for all day, Lucy. I was very excited about this earlier on.
Yes.
And I'm still excited.
Okay. So the question was, we have a lovely watch to give the winner. And we asked people. You're obsessed with the stripper. Do you not know any other tunes?
No, because I'm trying to think of, you know, that sort of lift music that in the old days they play. Yeah, you know that sort of when a nice woman, a nice pretty lady would.
Yes, like on the Generation Game.
Yes, exactly.
We asked people.
Yeah.
Who would they give a watch to in Ambridge, and what would they have engraved on the back?
Yes.
And we had many entries, which we narrowed down. Of course, we all violently disagreed on the winner.
Lucy sent a short list and said, who's the winner? And I said, this person. I said, this person, then this person, then this person. Jeff said, no. This person, then this person, then this person. And Lucy said, no.
None of you have picked any of the people I liked. So, what I have done...
The trouble is, they were all good. Very, very, very good answers.
So, what I have done, rather brilliantly...
Actually, it was my idea. but you've executed it brilliantly.
I have written them all out on a piece of paper. And I am going to scrunkle them up.
This is so exciting.
And then Cooper is going to choose the winner. And then the winner gets the watch. So,
but you just have to explain how Cooper's going to get the winner.
Yes, I am going to
crunch them all up into balls.
Yes,
but are we going to read all of them? Oh, at the end we'll read all of them.
No, I'll read them. I'll read them now. So there's only three of them because I picked the top three. Okay.
That
we all wanted. Yes.
Well, some of the others were absolutely amazing as well.
Mm. So we had Helen Grady. And she wanted to give the watch to Georgie, and have it engraved on the back, Brad knows best.
Oh, I love that one.
Ben Johnson suggested giving the watch to Lee and have engraved on the back, the long hand is minutes, the short one is hours, which made me laugh. And Charlotte Morgan wanted to give it to Rob Titchener with the rather sinister engraving, TikTok on the back, which, yes. Anyway... So, Cooper? Oh, Cooper's run away. No, no, come here.
No, this is Cooper. Friendly paper, Cooper.
No. Friendly he's being paper. Told off, so he's left the office.
Oh, he thinks Annie Bosworth and the Hound is out to get him.
Okay, when he comes back in...
It's literally scarpered. Oh, Lucy, this was going well.
But it doesn't matter because we can talk about next week's competition.
Also, what you could do is throw them in the air and the one that you catch with your mouth is the winner.
You just want me to choke, don't you? I know.
No, not live on air, Lucy. What would be funny about that? Okay, talk to me about prizes.
Next week, how do you feel about honey? Do you like honey?
I love honey.
Oh, hang on, he's back.
Coopy? Oh, he's back.
No, stay. Oh, for God's sake. Cooper, stop being neurotic. Come here, what's this? Coopy, what's this?
It's a competition, Cooper.
Cooper, it's a competition and you're very important. Oh. Come here. Right, I'm going to throw them.
They never do this on the Generation Game.
No, they don't. Ready, Cooper? Oi. Oh. Okay, I'm going to throw it and we'll see which one he goes to.
Okay.
Okay, right.
I can While almost visualise it. While we wait for
my idiot hound to return, he's now chasing things in the dark up and down the garden, thinking that that's what I want him to do. We have got an amazing present from hiveandkeeper.com. And they it's the kind of thing that makes you wet yourself with excitement, Harriet.
Oh,
I know.
Which
one, Cooper? Which one? Which one?
I feel terrible for Helen and everybody else who is just sort of
at the mercy of a
patient. Dog. Yes, tenterhooks they are.
Yes, it's called it's called tension. Cooper.
Tension. This is incredibly tense. Was that you throwing a ball?
Yeah, that's me throwing something else. Okay, I'm going to pick up the one he's just trodden on, right?
Okay. You ready? Unless you put a biscuit in the mall and then he'll... Did you pick it up?
I could just put a biscuit in the one I liked, couldn't I? Rig it. I have not done that. Right. Yep. Savannah is... It's Helen Grady and Brad Knows Best.
Oh!
Or Georgie.
Lucy, that was my favourite. Yay! I love that one. Because it's heartfelt.
Yes. You soppy son. Helen Grady, congratulations.
Congratulations.
If you can email me with your address, if you do it on Patreon messages, then I'll know it's you. Email me with your address or the address that you'd like the watch sent to, and also what you'd like engraved on the back in 45 characters, and then I'll send you the link for the watches that you can choose from, and then I will tell that to lovely Fergus at Accurist, and then they will send it over to you.
Yay!
Well done, Helen.
And well done, everybody else. And yes, thank you for...
You've all done very well.
Terribly, terribly good.
So this next week's one is a honey hamper from limited edition honeys at Hive and Keeper.
Oh, I love that sort of stuff.
I know. They produce only 70 to 450 jars per batch of hives, but the authentic taste of British raw honey.
I love raw honey.
And
blimmin' expensive, though. That's yes. why I don't often buy it.
She says it's as varied and beautiful as the UK landscapes it comes from. And it comes from, so it's single hive honey.
Okay.
From the buzzing hives nestled in gardens, woodlands, meadows and fields across the UK.
Oh, right.
And she sent me 2 jars of the honey. And I forced Jeff, who was quite poorly at the time and probably wasn't up for doing a honey tasting, but anyway, I made him and recorded him. So I will play that in now so you can hear us doing a honey tasting. Welcome to my kitchen, listeners. We don't often come into my kitchen. You'll be interested to hear that I've just cleaned it for you. I don't know why. Obviously, that makes no sense at all, but it's force of habit. Panic. People are coming. We have... first of all, I'm here with Jeff.
Hello.
What do you know about honey or beekeeping on the Archers?
On the Archers?
Yes.
Leonard?
No.
Oh, it seems like the kind.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Jim?
No.
Then I know nothing about beekeeping on the Archers. Beekeeping? Beekeeping.
Beekeeping. Yes. They don't kick them.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear that.
They rule that out.
I don't know anything about beekeeping on the Archers, it turns out.
Or indeed beekeeping. Jill Archer keeps bees.
Ah.
And it was how she sort of bonded.
I expect Leonard helps occasionally then.
I think he did once.
There you go, you see. He's basically a beekeeper.
Ben, her grandson Ben, was the one that helped her most, and it's how they sort of bonded.
I see.
Okay. As relatives. And what is the country tradition with bees? Do you know?
You might have to be a little more specific.
Mm. Do you know any?
No.
When there's been a death in the family...
Oh, yeah.
You tell the bees.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they do with that?
They put it in the paper, I don't know. But why, you ask yourselves, are we doing all this bee chat? Well, we have been sent a very, very lovely company called Hive and Keeper. The beautiful stuff. And they produce honey that is... Oops, just clanged the tray that the samples are on because I've done this very properly, listeners. They do single apiary harvest. So it's totally unique. The honey will taste of what the bees have been eating in the area in which they
have collected. In that garden at that time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I love that idea.
Me too. I think it's fantastic.
It's now. So we're going to do a tasting and you've got to try and guess what this tastes like. So we have nice crackers for you to eat. With the honey, don't eat them just now.
Oh, okay. Not even just a little.
No. Right, so we'll start with this one. Have a dip in here.
So this is a runny.
This is from July 2022.
Runny, slightly clear, very slightly cloudy honey, but it's very, very runny.
One of only 238 jars, Jeff.
It tastes kind of citrusy, lemony or orangey or something like that. There's none of that, you know, some honey can have a sort of slightly harsh aftertaste. Yeah. That doesn't have that at all.
Now,
very, very nice.
Look at this one. It's very different.
Oh, hang on. This is... I don't know if... Oh, we've got a spoon. So this is a set honey. It's cream honey. it's got much more of a bouquet than the first honey.
This smells like the sort of honey we used to have when I was little. We used to have the thick honey. I don't know where we got it from.
Ooh. Oh, it's a much stronger flavour.
Is it?
Mmm. It tastes a bit... Smell of the sea as well, a bit.
Really? Okay. So, which do you like best? Or do you feel it invidious to say?
Oof. They are both really, really, really nice.
And really different.
Very different. I'm just going to try the first one again, remind myself.
I'd have that one. I'd have the thick one on crumpets. And I'd have that one in a cake, like a honey cake or something. Or I'd have honey and lemon with a hot toddy with that one.
That runny one is more accessible. It's very clean. It's very delicious. The other one is slightly more challenging, but I think I prefer it.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I've been challenged by the honey and I have accepted the challenge.
Right. So the one that you like best is has been kept in a garden from bees kept in a garden in Canford Magna in Dorset, where you used to live.
I used to go to school very close to Canford Magna, yes. Indeed.
It's one of only 300 jars. And that she started, Claudine started beekeeping because she started doing it in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And away she went.
Well, she is doing a bang up job because
well
that's
done,
really,
Claudine.
Really lovely. No, don't put it away. I'm still testing here.
No, you're just eating now. Yes. That's different. The other one, you see, you should have had a natural affinity with the other one.
Should I?
Yes.
Is it Scottish?
No, he's an accountant.
Ah!
This is Howard.
Like the best bakers, it turns out.
Who. The runny one was from Howard's bees that are kept in his garden in Blaisdon in the Forest of Dean. So that's Howard Beasley.
Beasley?
Beasley, yes.
What a fantastic name.
Yes.
For an apiarist.
Yes. So this, ladies and gentlemen, a hive and keeper hamper is going to be yours if you answer the question correctly.
It's not this one, is it? Because there's going to be none left in about.
No. So thank you very much, Jeff and me. So if you would like to win the lovely, lovely honey, they do all go... Yeah, have a look at the site. It is...
What's it called?
Hiveandkeeper.com. And they do lovely things. They do leather stuff and throws and cushions and china.
Okay. I wrote it in wrong and Victoria Plumbing came up.
No.
That's weird.
Right.
Because it's nothing to do with toilets.
No.
Hive and Keeper. Yes. Hiveandkeeper.com. Oh, yeah. They got loads of stuff.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Lucy.
I know. That's right up your cup of tea, isn't it, that?
Right up my... I love this kind of...
Yeah.
Lushness.
Artisan.
Oh, it's
yumminess.
Got, like, wool throws. and mugs.
Anyway, meanwhile, the honey was blooming delicious, can I just say.
If they had a shop, what they would have done in the old days, you'd go in and it would smell amazing.
It would smell of beeswax and all pale
and lavendery
and lavender and honey.
I want to go in there. Yeah, love it.
Okay, so this week's question.
Yep.
Before anybody moans, it was in the show. You just have to have eagle ears.
Okay.
One of the villagers did a reading in the Lark Rise by Candlelight evening.
Yeah.
That mentioned a ghost. Where was the ghost always seen?
I don't remember.
What?
Was it this week?
In this week, the villagers were discussing their Lark Rise by Candlelight evening.
Right, okay.
And one of them said about their reading, and they mentioned a ghost, and where was that ghost always seen?
Okay. In the library with the dagger?
It's a ghost, not a murderer, you idiot.
Okay, okay. I haven't won any honey.
No, you have not, no. And anyway, I ate it. Oh, I can give you the rest of the jar that's only had a few teaspoons taken
out
of
it. Can you just repack it? Yeah.
You're not having the hamper. I'm keeping that. Cute. But anyway.
For a change, I might just order something online and pay for it.
Oh, how very old-fashioned. yes, so good luck, everybody. And
good luck.
As usual, send it in to us on the Patreon messaging thing.
Yep.
And good luck. And I know it's a bit of a nasty question. I'm sorry. But
and it's not long till our Patreon Halloweenathon.
What is on the 30th?
What is on the 30th of Octorom?
Yes.
October.
Octorom. And now we are crossing over to Gay Grables, where we're taking a look at the new decor. I said it like Linda then. Decor.
Decor. Decor. Thanks so much, Ardil. Lovely to be back at Gay Grables. I've left the confidentiality agreement on the front desk. This is very exciting. I can't believe I'm going to meet the new owner, finally.
Hello, hello, it is me, Fabrizio Frelpisham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have.
You?
Yes, me. You are in surprise, I think. It is understand. Fabrizio the media mogul, you know. Fabrizio the style guru, you also know. Who you do not know is Fabrizio, entrepreneur and interior decoration expert.
I had no idea. Well, frankly, I had no idea you had that kind of money.
Well, normally I don't. My auntie Virschnitz sold her stud goat, which has fathered pretty much all of award-winning goat in Eurovisia. It is a terrifying animal and look like a bag of cabbages from behind, so you can imagine how much it is worth. So I thought I would invest my little poached egg in a local project, and here we are. I think you are in charge of launch event, which is very exciting, and I have some question for you about the rebrand of the hotel itself. For examples, where are the fountains? And I wanted mother of pearl toilet and silver balloons. And what do we have? Everything all white and echo, and so it is like being in a sink full of mushrooms. Oh!
Ah, my concern was more about the finish.
Yes, well, they haven't finished, that is the problem. Ardell told me it will all be fine, but I am not sure it will be done by the time of launch event. Are you as worried as me?
Well, as you know, I have been responsible for curating a variety of balls across Felpersham.
We have so much in common.
But I feel this should be the pièce de résistance. Classic, contemporary, and a truly restrained, exclusive event.
Absolutely. And also with podium dancer, I was thinking. Where would they go?
There will be no podium dancers, Fabrice. This is not Jack's Cap on the third Thursday of the month.
Oh, Linda, nothing say celebrate like wild-eyed, sweaty young scaffolders covered in glitter.
Wrong clientele entirely, Fabrice. Our demographic is AB ones and twos.
Ones and twos? Toddlers? I cannot see them fit in at all, Linda, and they might slip off podiums.
No, a wealthy international crowd, I mean. C-suite executives.
Oh, I see. Wealthy international chief executives. Coming to a titch little village in Borchester. Not going to happen. We need somewhere for young, stylish people that can post on Instagram hashtag literally obsessed with Gay Grables. Funny coloured drinks and ice cream with dry ice and an Elton John tribute band. My friend Graham is in one and I thought he could play the opening night. Don't Go Break My Art, Circle of Lions and Windy Candle. He is very good.
Oh, Fabrice, I really don't think that this is what Adil has in mind. Hello? Sorry? Oh, hello, Ardeal. The new owners are at the desk. But I'm sitting here talking to Febreze. I was under the impression... Ah, I see. Yes, okay. Yes, I will tell him. Thank you. I'll come to the front desk now. Well, Febreze, that was Aldi. He says you are not the new owner of Gay Grables. In actual fact, you have sponsored a hanging basket out the front. And apparently he's had to speak to you before about interfering in Gay Grables' rebrand. He mentioned the words, restraining order.
Fine, if you do not want my help, then what can I do? The whole event will be big, boring disaster, full of anti-cardboard wearing support stockings and all men wearing mothy dinner jackets and Paco Rabanne. Oh, but fine. If you do not want style, you will not have style.
What are you looking at?
Oh, hello, Febreze of Felbersham, looking like I have... Oh, yes. No, I am going to have to cancel. Yes, I am sorry about that. Well, apparently, some people do not see the point of a naked sushi buffet. I know! No idea.
Adil!
All right, I am going.
Thank you very much. Oh dear, sorry, Linda and Febreze. And also thank you to everyone that supported Jeff on his mission to get more guide dogs for Jazza. Jazza's going to have 1,000 guide dogs now, whether he wants them or not. He'll have to give up being on the Archers to look after the many billions of guide dogs that we're going to get him.
Move house, Ryan.
Yeah. you can find the funding page at goontojustgiving.com and put in Jeff Thomas Fat Burning Fundraiser.
Okay, because some people have been asking, Lucy, and it's hard to find this link.
Oh, is it?
I mean, it's not on the Twitters or whatever.
Oh, I will put it on again. I think I put it on after you messaged me and said people can't find it, so I put it on them.
Fab. Yes. Jeff Thomas Fat Burning Fundraiser.
Yes.
On Just Giving.
Yeah. And we had a lovely, when Jeff was here, we had a lovely message from Jazza, who saw how much we'd raised already and went, oh! How about that then, pal? Or something in a very Scottish way. And it was lovely. What a little voicemail.
Very cool.
Yes.
I love it when Jazza calls Brad big man.
Oh.
He's so affectionate to Brad. And I just was so in love with that family this week.
Yeah.
You know, because also Brad's not, what's so sweet about Brad is he's not embarrassed by them, you know, or maybe a tiny bit, but you know.
The kilt might have been pushing it.
And Tracy going in her wedding dress. Yeah. She was going to Durham and it did look like a church. But I just thought they were, they're just such a charming, loving.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that, well, I suppose any family that will put everything into getting their kid fulfilled or happy or, you know, is just.
It's just interesting, isn't it? They're one of the few families that actually demonstrates that they love each other.
Yes, it is weird. And it's a Horobin family as well. So it sort of shouldn't have been like that on paper.
Susan and Emma rag like anything, don't they?
Yeah,
they're always having a snip at each other.
Yeah.
Ruth clearly has a pathological hatred of Pip. And many of her other children.
But even, I suppose as well, it's because Jazza is quite new into the family.
Yeah.
But his devotion to Brad and Chelsea is, you can tell it's genuine and... Yeah. So loving.
And his first thought is always them.
Yeah.
And not him. Yeah.
And he was the one that saw through, you know, realised that Brad wasn't convinced about. Yeah.
And then Brad just says, can you tell mum? Anyway, I'm off now. Yeah. Everybody just uses Jazza as if there's a difficult conversation to be had, they will just go, can you do it? Thank you.
But I mean, I would say to Brad, maybe go and see a couple more unis as well before you decide.
Yeah.
Because they're not all like Durham.
No, they're not all like Hogwarts.
York would be super, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I can hear kids coming upstairs. I better.
Well, we finished now anyway.
Yeah, well, that's perfect timing, Lucy. Perfect.
Did you listen to the Jeeves and Worcester with Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie? Or were you an embryo.
Yeah, when it was on telly.
Yes.
No, it was one of my favourite programmes, okay, along with The House of Elliot.
The House of Idiot. Okay, then brace yourself.
It's that, isn't it?
Yep. This is the Jeeves and Wooster Archers mashup, courtesy of Matt Rodriguez Payne and Harriet singing back.
This will make me so happy when I hear this.
And goodbye, everybody. Have a smashing, super and wonderful weekend. And thank you very much for listening.
Oh, Lucy, hang on.
Ooh, I am Honey Boswell. Hanging from a tree.
Are you naked, dancing rounder?
With a puppy.
Right, ready?
Yep, and sucking on a toad.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.